Are we still well? Okay, question before I continue. At the beginning of the service, I said, when the Holy Spirit moves through worship, he moves through his people. You're his people, yes? So is there anyone who has anything to share? Then you can come and share it. I want to bring about a level of teaching, shall we say. Someone said to me a little while ago, Andrew, you need to be you. And so part of me is someone who takes risks. Maybe that's you. Maybe you take risks. Is God speaking to you personally? Is he saying to you, I believe this is for the church, or is it just for you? This is opportunities for you to be able to stand up and step out of your comfort zone, because we can preach the word. I remember Michelle saying a year or two ago, she said, maybe this time there are people who've got something to say, but they need to be invited. Don't know if you remember saying that, but I do. So I'm inviting you to come and share if God is placing something on your heart or not. And the end of the story about the twins was this particular mother did bring up twins. So God speaks to his church, doesn't he? Amen. Right. As you were sharing, Phil and Sarah, we're talking about what God is saying. As you were sharing during worship and you were saying, you know, I haven't felt this much peace for 2 years and we've been through a tough time. It reminded me of an illustration. Is it the Bayeux tapestry or the Bayeux? The Bayeux tapestry. Apparently, if you study that, you'll see there's a certain commander with a sword out and he's pushing the commander-in-chief forward and saying, go and fight. And it says, Colonel so-and-so, Captain such-and-such, whatever it is, encouraged him. Now, the word for the comforter, when we look at the paraclete, when we start looking at that word, it's the comforter. So God has been beside you two saying, go, go. He's been comforting you, pushing you, saying, go fight. Paul says, fight the good fight. I've run the race as of which to win the prize. So sometimes the Holy Spirit does comfort us, but not in the way you think. He comforts us by saying, go, you can do this. My grace is sufficient. Amen. So we're continuing to look at the Holy Spirit within the individual, the Holy Spirit within the church, the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, New Testament, gifts of the Spirit, baptism of the Spirit. And the reason for that is simply this, so that we're not fearful of God. If I was to say, God wants to bless you, is that okay? God wants to bless you. Do you want to be blessed? Is that an amen? Amen. I want to be challenged. Do you want to be challenged? Because we're stretched so that we can grow. Do you know what? When things are good, I was sharing with someone this morning that there's a passionate portion of scripture that really speaks to me, and it says, and they preached with power, and 3,000 were added to their number that day. And you think, oh Lord, please, you know, let it be. And then you read a bit further, and it said, when persecution came, they all left him. And that's true of the church globally and the church in our area. When things are good, we can all say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. When things are not so good, we should still be able to say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Why? I'll tell you. Because he changes not. So when we hear a testimony as was brought where children were exposed to the reality of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they experienced the reality of that, we can all say, praise God, hallelujah. When we hear a story of a tragedy where someone is taken far too young and killed, we can still say, Lord, you are the same. And if our faith relies upon the good times, then I can guarantee you when the bad times come, and if they haven't, they will, that if you've not got your feet on the foundation, you will wobble. If you've not got Christ as an anchor for your soul, you will drift in the life, in the seas of life. And so when we bring this understanding, this teaching on the Holy Spirit, we all know it if we've been in church long enough. But it's actually saying, this is for me. And the reason I labor this point is because I've been in situations where I've questioned, is this God or not? And we know we have a counterfeiter out there. I know we have an enemy that prowls around looking for that in which he can devour. And when you look through nature, the one that the lion goes after is the one that he can separate from the herd. And as it happens in Christian life, when we start to withdraw and we say, it's just me and you, Lord. He says, but I died for my church. You're part of my church. You're part of my body. So we want to emphasize, and I particularly want to emphasize that you are part of his body and you have something valuable to say. Allow God to show you, to teach you, to train your ears. You know, if you wake up one day and think, I really need to be at church, that's not just a nice thought. That's the Holy Spirit prompting you. There's times where I've thought, I just can't do this. And Susan said, but you're the pastor, you have to go. It's time. Now, that was just me bringing in a story. But you know what I mean? And there's very times where we've not wanted to be somewhere amongst God's people because we don't feel too good. And we've pushed through and we've got there and God has spoken to us. Not always through the sermon, through the platform ministry, but through the time of worship. Through a word that someone stood up and says, the Lord is saying, keep going. And we're going, oh, Christ, that's me. Create in me a clean heart, renew a right. Do you know what? In church, there was a period in my life where every time the pastor spoke, I thought he was talking to me. I thought Susan had gone and had a word with him and told him everything about me. But she hadn't. It was the Holy Spirit. I was squirming in my seat every time he would say something. This went on for a period of months until I realized that God was speaking to me. And God disciplines the ones he... So he loves me. And if you're going for a time of discipline, that's because he loves you. So I want to continue with this theme on the Holy Spirit within the individual, the Holy Spirit within the church, through worship, in a way that God has enabled me to communicate. Last week, Jackie said that she used me as an example. She said, before Andrew was a Christian, he couldn't read very well, and that is true. I am dyslexic, I am still dyslexic, but when I became a Christian, God illuminated something to me, and I suddenly could look at Scripture, and it was as if there was a bright light shining on it, and I understood what Scripture was saying. I couldn't do that naturally. It was a supernatural thing. The Bible says, and this is where the Holy Spirit will help you, it says, don't just be hearers of the word, but be... See, you've read your word. It's easy to say, isn't it? It's hard to do. You need to forgive. Yes. You need to receive. Yes. You need to give up something of you so God can inhabit it. It needs to be less of me and more of him. Easy to say, hard to do. God wants my money. I can give it. Do I? Let's not be hearers of the word. Let's be doers of the word. We can accept so much grace from God, so many gifts from God. But it's so difficult, I believe, for his church to do what he says to do. One of the things that we have learned over the years is when God speaks, we need to say, yes, Lord. And that's why you need to know the Spirit of God. Because there are people, I'm sure, in your life, and you know about them. Can you imagine me coming up to Sarah and saying, Sarah, I really feel that God has called me to lead worship. She would wonder what on earth is going on unless God had done a supernatural miracle in my life because I can't sing. So there's times where we think God is speaking to us and it seems impossible, and that's because God's not speaking to us. But there are other times where God is speaking to us and he's already done the work, such as myself with being able to articulate his truth because God gave me that revelation through the power of his Holy Spirit. So when we speak about the gifts of the Spirit, when we speak about the power of the Spirit, it's just as important to understand it's the small things as well as the big things. It's the things that are happening in your life as well as the things that are happening in my life. God is the comforter. He comforts us in two ways. One way is to say, go for that. You can do this. And it's tough. It's painful. And the other way is where he comes around and he brings his arms and he says, listen, you are safe. You need to discern which comfort God is bringing to you at this moment. Now, in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, it says this, do you not know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you? Whom you have received from God. So the Spirit of God is a gift. It's the Holy Spirit comes to live within me and you. You are not your own. I hope you know that. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Now, there are times where I do things with this that I shouldn't do. And it's not honoring to me, let alone to God. And whenever we read these scriptures, it's so, so important to understand that God lives in us. And when we dishonor our bodies, we dishonor God. And it's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult. You know, we talk about some of the things that are big in our lives, yet God still shines a light on the small things. He doesn't want you to dislike yourself. He wants you to love you because he lives within you. There are illustrations in this portion of scripture. It talks about sexual immorality, and there's times where we could think, oh my goodness, not again, Lord. But you know what? There's times I've watched something and I've lingered on it longer than I need to. My eyes are being polluted, just the same as if I'd partaken in the act itself. So it's easy for me to point the finger at someone else and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, you sinner. And yet, as we look at what we're doing when we point, the Holy Spirit points back at us and says, yeah, you. And so when we speak, it should be knowing that Christ speaks through us. When we do things, when we act in a certain way, when we get into certain relationships, we should understand that God lives in us. And it's okay to feel convicted. Because when God convicts us, he also convinces us for our need to change. So we cannot change unless we're convicted by what God does through his Holy Spirit of sin. Because it's only the sinner that needs a savior, yeah? So if you're not a sinner, you don't need a savior. And you're convicted of your sin because of what the Holy Spirit is doing. So that's a good thing, because then we can be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. So let's look at God's scripture and be encouraged, even though it's challenging. In Ephesians 2:12, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship. I'll explain in a minute. In Israel, and foreigners to the promise, without hope, without God. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You see, when we talk about us being bought at a price, it was his blood. When Emma shared the story of the death of Christ, that was the price he paid for sin. That's the price he paid for you and for me, so that we could choose life or death. God loves us enough to give us that choice. And there's a time where the Gentiles were separate from the Jews. The Jews, if you know scripture, and if you don't know scripture, were God's chosen people. It's okay for you. What about me? And there was a wall, and it was called the wall of hostility. It separated Jew and Gentile. It was a literal stone wall in the temple. You couldn't get into the temple, let alone into the Holy of Holies. Only the priest could go into the Holy of Holies. If you understand your scripture, you'll realize that there was a way of doing things, and it was called the law. And Jesus says that he came to tear down that barrier, that separation, so that we, the Gentile, could enter in to the temple. Not only could we enter into the temple, if you know scripture, it will tell you this, that when Jesus said it's finished, there was a big curtain that separated us from God. A big curtain that said, not a small wall, but a big curtain that separated everyone else from the Holy of Holies. And only the priest could enter, and that with sacrifice and only once a year. And it says, it is finished. And then that curtain was torn from top to bottom. And that meant we have access. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within the believer. Through the manifestation of the grace of God in the believer, we say Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. Jesus is Savior. God then endows us with his presence. He gives us access into the Holy of Holies. So look, what that means in its simplicity is this. You don't need to come to a priest for him or her to pray for you. You don't need to come to a pastor for him to pray for you. You can go directly to God. And that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. So it's important to understand the Spirit of God in the believer. That's your personal gift. You don't have to come with me and say, Andrew, you're a pastor. Shirley, you're a man that's called of God. Come with me so that I get access. You don't have to do that. If Jesus is your Lord, you have access. The Spirit of truth that lives in you gives you access to God. So you can pray. You can ask Him to come. That's why when we join together in corporate worship, the Holy Spirit is there individually. So answer me this. If the Holy Spirit lives in me, and He lives in Molly, and He lives in Nigel, He lives in Clive, that means when we come together corporately, the Holy Spirit is still there individually, but He's there powerfully corporately. That's why it's important for us as a body to come to church, to offer up our worship, not to say, God, give me. What can you give me today, God? No, what can I give you? And as you offer up your worship, God endows you. He gives you restoration, reconciliation. He gives you relief from your pain, physically, mentally, and emotionally. He intervenes financially. We can't see the wood for the trees, as they say. We can't see what's happening on the riverbank because the boat is going so fast because we haven't got God as the anchor. The Holy Spirit encourages us to put down anchor and say, Lord, still my heart. And that's still the Holy Spirit. It's still Him working individually and corporately. We were bought at a price, and it was the blood of Jesus. For He Himself is our peace. God is our peace through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So if you have no peace, ask God to give you a greater measure of His Spirit. And one of the things that I want to say to us as a church is the enemy has a foothold in our lives at times. And when we hide things, we're not hiding them from God. We need to bring them out. And as we bring them out to Him, because He's our priest, yeah? As we confess them to Him, you don't need to confess to me, although there is power when we join together and confess our sins one with another. We can come in agreement on that and shore up the weak areas. But we confess them to Him. The enemy has no power over that darkness. That's a revelation also of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit convicts you to say, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. Why? I'm glad you asked, because we've been brought at a price, and it's the precious blood of Jesus. He died so that we could live, for He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the wall, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in His flesh the law with its commandments and its regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity out of the two. So they're not just my words. So when Jesus died, He brought the two and made them one. And when we join in marriage, the two become one. When we join in heart, the two become one. When we pursue God, He enters us. And the two become one. Scripture says that Christ is in us. Jesus and the Father are one, yes? When we talk about the Holy Spirit, why it's important is this. When Christ walked on this earth, He did mighty miracles. You agree with that? He did signs and wonders. He had wisdom far outstripped His age. When He was a child, people would say, how can this person know so much? When He got the scroll and He read Isaiah and said, in the hearing of the people today, this has been fulfilled. He's been anointed. They're going, what's happened? When people would speak in eloquence, in power, they would say, He's been with Jesus. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why for us, as we walk through life, it's important not to see that word Holy Spirit as a derogatory word and, oh my goodness, certain things might happen. I want things to happen. I want the earth to shake so that I can be unstable but stable in Him. I want God to reveal the darkness in me so there can be more light. So you've got the Father, Holy God, who couldn't come to earth because it says we cannot look upon His face and live. He sent Christ to come, fully God but fully human, so that we could identify with the humanity of God. Jesus lived a perfect life. He did not sin, but He did suffer. But he was one person in one place doing one thing at one time. And he said, I have to go so that I can send the Comforter, so that I can send the promised Holy Spirit. So that's what we're talking about, guys. God. It's a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that lives in us. So if we can repeat those words that Scripture tells us, where Jesus says, and greater things than you saw me do, you will do also. Surely not. You mean we can pray for the sick and they can get healed? Did you know that you're not a healer, but Christ is? That's the difference. When someone says, pray for me that God will heal me through you, you say, I can't heal, but Christ can, and he lives in me. That's why we pray. There are Christians who don't believe in the manifestation of the Spirit. They don't believe that God can raise the dead today. But they'll ask you to pray for a loved one. Prayer is prayer. God can do anything. He created us. He can recreate us. If I had one leg, he could make that leg grow. Whether he does or not is down to him. But we have an opportunity to pray one for another and for the world around us. And why do I say that? Because he lives in you. And that's what I want to encourage you with. There is no barrier separating you from God if you're a child of God. There is a barrier that separates you from God if you're not, and that's called sin. Sin separates, yeah? So if there's a breakthrough that you're looking in your life, then get rid of the sin and let the Savior shine the way. If you don't know who this Jesus is that we're talking about today, you can. Let's see that wall of hostility separated so that God can enter in you. What, me? But you don't understand the life I've led. Yeah, well, you don't understand the life I've led. You know, Jesus talks to his disciples. And you can almost imagine in a worldly sense today, we as Christians, we meet together and we go, yeah, did you know so-and-so? They was up to such-and-such. And we become very indignant sometimes and very self-righteous because I could never do what that person has done. Do you know what Jesus did? He said to his disciples, yes, and thieves and robbers and sodomites as such as some of you were. You see, we're all sinners saved by grace. So this is a good news story as we introduce the Holy Spirit as an individual spirit of truth in the individual, corporately and through our worship. I want to encourage us because I want you to believe that he is who he says he is. Not just to come to church to be hearers, but to be doers. Don't you know, in 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? See, these are not just words of eloquence that I bring. They're words of truth because that's what the Bible says. That you yourselves are God's temple. So when we think about a temple, we think about a place where the God, whoever's being worshipped, dwells, yes? You go to any shrine in Sri Lanka or any part of the world where there's a temple. You go to a church and it's said that that's where God dwells. That's where that God dwells. Well, I'm saying to you and me that the God, not a God, the God. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we're talking about the God of creation. He says to you that, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? So if you're God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in your midst, that means God lives in you. That's where God is. So let's honor God with our bodies. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred. And you, together, are that temple. So there's times in church life, in corporate life, and it's happened in every church that I've not been part of, but know about. There's division. Have you ever been in a church where there's no division? There is, isn't there? There's division. But God doesn't want us to destroy. He doesn't want us to rip to bits his body. There may be times where you disagree with me, and that's okay. It's okay to disagree. There's times where you go, you know, I believe this season of my life is where it should be and God's moving me on. That's okay too. But let's not destroy God's body. Let's not see a Christian in another church doing another thing that we think, oh my goodness, who do they think they are? Well, I'll tell you who they think they are. They think they're a child of God and they're doing God's will. So let's pray for them. Let's encourage. Because when we talk about God's temple, individually that is true, but he also says through scripture that us together are also his dwelling place. He comes to dwell in amongst us. So I want to encourage you as we look through these scriptures, these portions of scriptures on the Holy Spirit, where it talks about God allowing us access to him because of the work of his Spirit in us. In Romans 8:9, it says this: "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit." If, and it's so easy to miss the if. So we're in church together, we're worshiping together, and someone says, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit," and we all go, "Amen." Or hopefully we go, "Amen." But then we miss out the if. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. How can the Spirit of God live in you? The reason I'm bringing this and laboring it isn't because we're Christians here and we're believers here. It's because it's part of the truth. And when you hear the truth will set you free. So when you hear a minister say, "Listen, let's allow the Holy Spirit to move in us," you know what we're talking about. And sometimes we just need to be reminded that it's a good word, not a bad word. It's a good thing, not a bad thing. It's okay for you to say, "Listen, I have something to share. It's encouraging, it's edifying, it builds up. I think the Lord is speaking through me. I'm part of this body. The Spirit of God lives in me." So if you're part of this body, encourage the body. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and the way you can check that, does God live in you? I'll ask you this question. Don't answer out loud, because you might not have the right answer. But is Jesus Christ your Savior and Lord? And if the answer is yes, then he lives in you. If it's no, then let's pray now. Father, I thank you that you came to die for me. That, Lord, that you can enter me through the power of your Holy Spirit. So I ask you to forgive me of my thoughts, my sins. I don't want to be separated by that wall of hostility. I want to come into the Holy of Holies. So forgive me, encourage me, enter me in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said amen to that, then the if has gone. It's a fact. Indeed, the Spirit of God lives in you. And if, here we go again, anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. We have an eternity, don't we? An eternal perspective. Even though this 21-year-old body is fading away, fading away. Sorry, Lord, I shouldn't lie. I meant 33. If this body is fading away, I have an eternity to look forward to, don't I? That's the Spirit of God that encourages me through his word. If he says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead, that's Father God, will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. God wants to raise his Spirit to be with him. He wants the full body. Part of his body is here with you. To live is Christ, to die is gain. We have people who have lost loved ones and lost them recently to go home to be with the Lord. They would know this truth. To live is Christ. I can serve him while I'm here. To die is gain. Why? Because I get a new body. Because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, that's you, we have an obligation. But it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if we live according to the flesh, if we do what we want to do, we'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. So when sin comes to inhabit, we push it out. We allow the Spirit of God. Was it John who said, "I must decrease that you will increase"? If you take the simplicity of a glass of water and there's a half a glass of water there, and in the bottom of the glass It's the mud. If you want that mud to disappear, you need to pour more water in. So eventually the mud will come to the top. Do you get that picture? So it's more of the Spirit of God, more clean, less unclean. That's the truth of the Bible. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves. And that, if you look around that, you'll say, I'm no longer a slave to sin, but you're a slave to righteousness. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. That's why we call ourselves brothers and sisters, because we've been adopted into his family. By him, we cry Abba, which is Father. The Spirit himself, that's the Holy Spirit that we're talking about, testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. There are times where, as a non-Christian, I couldn't understand scripture. I couldn't understand what the Bible was saying when I heard it preached. I didn't know what it meant. Now, did I know I did things wrong? Yes, of course I did. But did I equate the sin they were talking about with me? No, I didn't. I didn't understand it. But he called me, and he called me to answer one simple question. Will you follow me? And I said yes. And from that time, he came to live in me. And then even though I was left fatherless at 11, I had an overwhelming sense at the age of 30, when I became a Christian, of God's everlasting arms around me. And I want to share with you guys, I'm going to leave it there. I have other things that I wanted to say, but I don't want to take up these few moments. I want to say something else. I want to say to you that there are times in Christian life where we can really feel afraid of the word Holy Spirit. That we can see manifestations as we watch TV, or as we read about certain revivals. We can be fearful of what God is doing. And it's right to be fearful sometimes. It's right to be cautious, should I say. It's right to be wise. And let's take it a bit further. It's right to be discerning. Is this you, Lord? Because there may be something supernatural happening that is really weird and wonderful, and you're going to miss it. And there may be something supernatural that is really weird and wonderful, and you should stay away from it. Discernment. That's why we should say, Holy Spirit, talk to me. He's in you. Holy Spirit, show me through your scripture. Holy Spirit, teach me. Teach me. You know, it's good to read other books. It's certainly good to know your Bible. It's really, really good to come to church and listen to ministers. But that's not as good as talking to God one-on-one. What do you say, Lord? Let God minister to you. Don't be afraid of the word Holy Spirit. Embrace him. If you're going through a tough time, call on him. There's a portion of scripture that really inspires me. There's a blind man comes to Jesus. And forgive me for paraphrasing or making up story around this, but I want to put it in perspective. So you imagine now someone comes to Jesus and they're really deformed and disabled. And they're coming to the prayer line. God being God, he knows everything, doesn't he? But what does he say to that blind man? I'll tell you, but I'm glad you asked. What do you want? What do you want? You see, there's times where you could come forward for prayer, and I hope at times you will. And I know what's going on in your life. So I can pray for that ankle that you've broken. I can pray for that marriage that's on the rocks. I can pray for that financial need because I know it. But Jesus didn't say that. He said, what do you want? What do you want? And as Christians, we are hoodwinked. Not by the truth, because the truth is God knows everything. But what do you want? Lord, I want you to speak to me. Well, listen. Lord, I want you to give me patience. Well, stop being impatient with the person that you're impatient with. And that's how you'll learn patience. Lord, I want you to give me financial security. You're not going to like this one. Well, start giving away. If you want it, give it away. I'm not talking about all of it. I'm talking about what belongs to God, you give to God. What belongs to Caesar, you give to Caesar. So take that on face value. You want something, then go to God and tell him what it is you want. Lord, you're his children. You've been adopted into his family. Tracy, if your boys want ice cream, they'll come and ask for it, won't they? They don't wait for you to kind of think, oh, it's been 3 weeks now, I think I'll give them some ice cream. When there's ice cream in the fridge, it's like, I want it and I want it now. But there's a process. It's the same with you as God's children. What are you asking for? The Holy Spirit in you will quicken something to your hearts. Let it come out of your mouth. Talk to God. Let's finish with that. Talk to God. Say, Lord, here I am. Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit, because I want more of you and less of me. Lord, thank you for indwelling me with your gift of the Holy Spirit. That will comfort me in my time of need and will comfort me and push me to fight the fight. That I'll know he's there with me, comforting me to say, go do this. Go do this. You can do it. You can do this because I live in you. As parents, we will say to our children, you can do this. How much more God? Yeah? So if you've been suffering in your body, God lives in you. You have an eternal perspective. Can he heal you now? Yes. Will he heal you in eternity? Absolutely. If you have issues, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial, Jesus lives in you. So he lives in you separately. And he lives in you as a body. So that means I will pray with you and you will pray with me. Because we're part of his body, yes? Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace and your mercy. Father, come and create.